Are you looking to fine-tune? Whether for your business, your job, your team, or yourself, in each episode, we will be discussing different ideas and opinions using real-world examples to help you see opportunities, innovate, and succeed. Hi, it's Corby Fine, and welcome to Fine-Tune. So with me today, I have a gentleman that I have known for many, many, many years. I think he might have employed my sister at one point, but you know, I'm getting old, so I kind of forget these things in detail. I sat down with him just around January, February. We were brainstorming, we were noodling, I saw his great new office, and then the world ended, and now we're sitting on opposite ends of a computer screen having a conversation. And with me today is Jeff Greenspoon, who is the CEO of Densu, which, for those of you who don't know, is a really large and really well-established holding co of all kinds of different sophisticated agencies, creative agencies, media agencies, CRM agencies, some other stuff that he's going to talk about in terms of where are agencies going and how does an organization like Densu really think forward, get ahead of the market. I didn't know this, but they have some sort of relationship with, I think, 80% of the top 100 advertisers in the world. So this is big time stuff. And Jeff has a big time role running all of Canada. So Jeff, welcome to my podcast today.
Thanks, Corby. Great to be here. And no big deal. All the things that you just said, but we try to have some fun while we're doing it too.
Well, by the design of the office that you're now currently not in, I could definitely tell, and I'm sure that you and your team would love to get back because it was a very modern, collaborative, and interesting office space as well.
Well, interestingly, the office was built when we, at least in Toronto, when we decided to bring all of our agencies together into one building and try to break down the proverbial and physical walls between our agencies when we realized that clients were looking for more than what just one agency could offer. And if you fast forward to today, it doesn't really matter what agency you sit in, what client you're working on. We bring teams together virtually, and our physical office, our new office, has been the manifestation of what we've been trying to do with our clients, which is just to bring together the best talent for the right job.
So interesting term there, and I'm not sure everyone understands, what is a network when we talk about agencies? And what does being in a network or being part of a network give both an agency and then also, you know, advertisers and brands?
Yeah, it's a great question. So being part of an agency network means you're part of a family or you're part of a community, as simple as that. We have 12 different agencies here in Canada, and each of them, to your point, has a little bit of a specialization. Some are focused on creative, some are focused on digital creative, data, media, experiential, and we find the right mix of talent from all of those agencies to serve as our clients. So if you are one of our agencies, you have the ability to knock on the door next door or pick up the phone, or in this case on Zoom, ask for the right capability or the right talent from any different type of specialization and bring that talent toward your client or the need that your client has. And traditionally, these networks or holding companies, as some call them, have been built by acquisition. So we've gone and we've looked for some of the hottest startup agencies or some of the fastest growing independent shops and brought them into our network because we thought that their specialization or their capability could really enhance what we deliver to our clients. So we try to keep ahead of the game by finding the hottest talent, but also the hottest agencies out there and bringing them into our community.
So when you think about the culture of an agency, and I know having worked in the marketing landscape for many years, there's often this, are you an in-house or an agency person? You know, this debate that happens.
Client side or agency side.
Exactly. Like, do I want to spend the money or receive the money? But at the end of the day, it is a team approach. When you think about culture, is there one side that's better than the other? Obviously, you're a sort of a career agency person, so maybe it's a skewed thing, but how do you determine and start to see culture, especially when you're in a network like Densu and you're thinking, hey, should we acquire, partner, et cetera? What is the agency culture these days, and how do you define it as really distinct?
Well, it's really interesting because while I'm a career agency person, I didn't grow up in the hierarchical or bureaucratic way of going from an account executive to an account manager, et cetera, et cetera. I started an agency with a partner, and we ended up selling our company to Dentsu. So we joined a network through acquisition. And what we realized in talking to a lot of different agencies and a lot of different networks was some try to be very homogeneous in their culture, where they want all of their agencies to be the same and look and feel the same. Other agency networks like Dentsu really embrace the differences of those agencies. So what I love about being a part of Dentsu is that if you look across our different companies, each has a little bit of a different culture. Each works in a little bit of a different way. And so when you think about our culture as Dentsu, it's actually the diverse cultures of all our different agencies that makes us special, because we can pull the right people, the right experience, the right talent at the right time. But I think what excites people about working in the agency space versus perhaps on the client side or the marketer side is the variety that comes with working on an agency. So many of our people are working on different clients every single day. They're focused on different challenges every day that they show up to work, and they're not working consistently on the same thing, the same brand. So they start to learn and gain experiences from the different people that they work with, versus oftentimes when I talk to even my own clients, they're heads down focused on the same thing time and time again. So different people, I think, like either of those different options. But for me, it was the change, the energy, and the variety that came with working on the agency side that excited me to stay in this side of the business.
So something you just said kind of resonated to when I spent my 4 years or so in agency. I loved the variety. I loved the diversity of challenges, of client situations, of opportunities. But I was in a more senior role. And what I found was that those in more junior roles, so your account managers, some of the people doing production, copywriters, designers, would often get pegged as the auto person or the financial services specialist or yada, yada, yada. Have you seen that change? And do you think that the culture of agencies really now empowers its employees, irrespective of level, to get that diversity and that cross-training?
Yeah, I think there's two sides to that. One is when we see hot talent and we know that someone is an up-and-comer and they're doing incredibly well, we try to push them faster into taking on a second account or in increasing their diversity of experience so that they don't get pigeonholed or siloed into one part of the business. But what we're finding more recently is a lot of our teams are putting up their hands and saying, you know, I have a lot of great experience, like you said, in auto or CPG, and I'd love to try my hand at something else. And so we embrace that and we find opportunities. For me, as many people as possible should be working on at least two or three accounts, because A, it helps you switch off your brain sometimes a little bit, but B, you start to learn about what is great in adjacent categories, because what's happening in retail innovation is going to be wildly applicable to auto. What's happening in auto is going to be wildly applicable to mobility and telco. And so there's an interconnectivity of industry, which helps when you have cross-category experiences, even as a junior person getting to know the industry.
Yeah, I'm fully aligned with that. And as a client now of agencies, I absolutely respect that and want to learn about experiences from other industries, other verticals, even other brands in my own space, because that's where the innovation and the new thought's going to happen. So now flip that and say, from your perspective, when you're talking about growing the business, what then makes a good client? And what makes a good client agency relationship? You know, how do you structure the two to work together? You know, does Dentsu or you and your secret sauce have sort of the ideal roadmap? What makes a good client and a good client agency relationship?
Yeah, so you mentioned roadmap, and I'm going to come back to that in a second. I think first, when we look at defining a great client, it's this sense of curiosity on wanting to know more that always is found in our best clients, and an understanding that they don't have all the answers. They know their brand, they know their product, they know what consumers or what audiences they want to talk to, but they rely on their agency to help them answer some questions. And so there's that curiosity that piques our interest, because we want to help answer their curiosity, but also ask the right questions of them so that we can go deeper into getting to know their business. So curiosity is the first. Second is trust. I think any client that trusts us from the beginning, but also that we can lean into to prove our trust, ultimately will get better work out of any agency, because sometimes to get the best work, a little bit of risk, or sometimes a lot of bit of risk, needs to be taken to get to the right idea and then actually to see the right idea through to execution. And then the third, and to your point about the secret sauce, road mapping actually is the secret sauce. So one of the things that we do with many of our clients is build them what we call their 18-month innovation roadmaps, where we look in detail at not only their brand or their business, but the category and the consumers that they talk with, and start to understand the unmet needs of that customer within their consumer journey. So what is no brand or no company in their category or elsewhere doing to answer that customer need? And then we start to identify, well, which are the ones that really will make impact in the long term? Which are the ones that could make impact in the short term? And we develop what we call innovation sprints to look over the next 18 months and to help solve for those unmet needs from a consumer perspective, or what are the unmet needs of their business to help them make better marketers? And when we can plant that flag of innovation and then make meaningful progress against those sprints or those innovation items, we find that we have great relationships, the longevity. We're not just focused on the short term, we're really focused on the long term, but ultimately we recognize that we're there to help that client grow their business every day. And our relationship with them is about growing their business every single day. It's not necessarily just about the agency client relationship and the work that we do on a specific campaign. It's there for something bigger.
So everything you just talked about, culminating in helping them grow their business, really sounds a lot like strategic work. And yet I think a lot of people often will think of the typical agency to the things we talked about at the beginning, creative, media, CRM, data, et cetera, et cetera. And strategy used to fall into the different kind of provider, your McKinsey, your BCG, whoever. And I hear you talking really about blending these things with the notion of, you know, an innovation roadmap and unmet user journey stories. There's a lot of modern thinking there. So take that and future cast it a little. Where is this world of agency going? Because it feels from the client side and from the market that there is substantial change, and that this traditional model, you know, of a brand having an AOR who kind of handles all the big creative ideas, and then a media agency who does the execution and the transacting of buying television spots and digital, it feels like it's changing and that there are all kinds of new ideas coming out. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a big meaty question, but we'll unpack it a little bit. So I think the future and where agencies will succeed in the future is around total customer experience. In understanding how a business interacts with a customer, whoever that is, in whatever segment that is, and starting to really look at that journey, that relationship, and how does a brand become more meaningful to that consumer? How do they start being more relevant to that consumer? And how is it no longer just about interrupting with advertising, but more about intersecting with culture so that the consumer has a better experience with that brand? And so when you start to think about what that means, yes, there's the tactical creative that needs to happen. There's the media buying that needs to happen. There's the CRM that needs to connect that journey. But ultimately, it's saying, okay, well, how do I engage with this customer? How do I activate them? How do I convert them? How do I transact with them? And ultimately, how do I retain them as a customer of my brand? And so it's more than just marketing at them as a transactional buyer of their product. And it becomes mattering to them as an individual, or even more as a member of a community that matters to us as an agency. So when we think about the role of strategy versus execution, before you can get to, well, what is the right execution, first you have to define what is that ideal experience. And that's where we get into some of the more modern strategic tools like road mapping, like journey understanding, and ultimately helping brands understand their customers better than anyone else, and then activating the right journey to keep them excited, keep them motivated, and keep them loyal over time. I think in terms of where agency models are going, we're starting to see a lot more of what we call the AOR on demand, or agency of record on demand. So rather than having a fixed team that you work with time and time again, and the scope is defined as we do this for you or that for you, we're finding a lot of our clients now want to work on more flexible models. So they'll have a very lean core team at the center of people that know their business intimately well, and then all of the other talent on their business flexes up or flexes down based on the the need of that day. So sometimes it might be, like you said, buying TV spots in media. Other times it might be building out hundreds of different iterations of digital creative. Other times it might be building a virtual showroom experience. And ultimately, if you have a great team at the center that really understands the brand, and they're part of a network that can dip and dive into the right talents at the right time, we think that you have a much more flexible, nimble, and agile model that's probably more attuned to the modern CMO than the legacy structures of you get what you pay for, and that's all you get.
So you talked a lot about new skill sets, and I'm going to go on a limb and say that a lot of the traditional people you might have hired over the last 5 years didn't necessarily fit the mold of being able to walk in and lead a joint design session on client journeys end to end to identify those gaps in and unmet needs in an industry, right? The typical art director or designer isn't going to come in with those skills. How are you guys at Dentsu thinking about cross-training and upskilling and modernizing the workforce?
Yeah, it's a great question. Firstly, I think a lot of our talent that we've had around for the last number of years have been very good to adapt to new ways of working. And I find that no matter what their experience or their tenure or their legacy in our industry, if you put the right construct of how you approach a roadmap and you have the right facilitators or strategists to lead that, industry experience and category knowledge can really come from anywhere and anyone. But it's more about building the right construct, the right framework, and the right process to get there. Because if you ask the right questions, and if you agree that there are things that we just don't know, and then you say, okay, well, who do we have to bring into the room to get there? It goes a long way. I think a great example of this, we were working with a fashion and beauty company, pretty legacy. They've been a Dentsu client for a long time, a client here in Canada, probably for about 5 years. And we hosted a variety of design thinking sessions. We have a process called Proton that takes you through an 8-week journey to get from an unmet need into a go-to-market plan. And for the first time ever, that team, both on the agency side and on the client side, actually brought not only each other into the process, but also their sales partners externally and customers. And so we had a team of 30 people of real customers of the sales channels in which they sell through, the agency and the client side all coming together within the construct that said, okay, here's the unmet needs that we've identified. And now let's really get to an advertising, marketing, and retail solution that completely changes the game in the category and is right fit for the time and is validated in real time by the people that actually buy that brand. So again, a lot of people that have been on the team for years and years, but a new way of thinking got to better ideas.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Probably something we should all be doing no matter where we work is bringing our customers into the design sessions. Absolutely.
They'll tell you a lot more than you think. There was another design session with another company that we were reviewing the feedback that had come in through the sessions. And one of the brand managers actually said, I know our customer will not buy that way. And we went back to the notes and we said, but three customers just told you that's how they buy. Right. And so how better can you solve for that tension between what either an agency or a marketer thinks versus the reality by having them in with you? And so I think there's this hyper empathy that is required of the modern marketer and the feeling that it's okay to bring them into that process.
Is that person still employed?
That person is still employed.
Good. See, sometimes we just don't know what we don't know, and that's okay, right? Having the inquisitive mind and sometimes being wrong and accepting that.
Exactly. And learning from that and taking it forward with you.
So I'm also seeing this notion of the specialty agency, you know, something that's hot, right? Selling your stuff on Amazon is really hot. Starting up a Shopify direct-to-consumer e-commerce store for a typical CPG brand is hot. So how do you think about the role of a player like Dentsu in getting in front of some of those, maybe they're niche, maybe they're permanent shifts in the way we think about marketing and selling and dealing with customers? What's going on in this niche sort of specialty agency space?
So it's extremely important to our business and to the business for our clients. Sometimes there are specific needs for very, very niche capability. What we found is kind of one of two things. Clients today, more than ever, are wanting less agencies at the table, and they're wanting greater collaboration across the agencies that they hire. And so for us, the implication is either we have to go and hire that talent and make sure that our talent is right fit and trained on those niches, or if we believe that the niche is as hot as you say and fast growing as you say, we'll either buy it or build it. And so I think marketplace commerce is a great example when both the Amazon and the Walmart and a variety of other niche marketplaces really started taking hold of A, sales channel, but B, a marketing channel. We decided to go and hire some very specific specialists that knew and understood the ecosystem. And then we built what we call a virtual agency of those talents. So we didn't spin up a new brand, we didn't open a new company, but we created a community of people from across our agencies that really understood how to succeed in marketplace. And so if we take our marketplace consultancy, just as an example, we have people from five of our different agencies that can come together to win on, say, an Amazon. So it's not only about the media buying of an Amazon, but also how do you get your storefront design right? How do you get your infrastructure right, your operations right, your performance media right? How do you connect it back into your CRM system? So we see ourselves as competitors to some of those hot shops, but we do it in a bit of a different way. We don't say that we're just going to be niche. We find the niche and we surround it with the broad capability of what a Dentsu can offer.
So where's the Dentsu podcast agency? Or sorry, niche.
So it's funny that you say that. For a client, a big retail client last year, we created a podcast series. We have a podcast lab in our studio at one university here in Toronto and one in our Montreal office. And we did 20 episodes of a podcast, selected the talent, produced. Corby wasn't a guest, but now I feel like he should have been. And we have the capability to really do whatever we need to do. But that wasn't, you know, a niche podcast agency. That was part of a new kind of virtual agency or offering that we call Dentsu Entertainment. And so it's not just about the niche of podcasts. It's more about thinking how do brands intersect with culture through entertainment and content. Some of that's long form original content, some that's really short form content. We've done some original music beds as opposed to brands licensing music for their video advertising. And yes, of course, podcasts, because they are niche and hot right now.
So other than getting back into the office, what's next? What's the next thing on the roadmap for Jeff, for Dentsu, for, you know, the entire network of agencies under your leadership?
So I think right now what we're trying to do is help our clients first and foremost, answer the question of what's next, and then I'll talk about what's next for us. We do a CMO survey every year. It's about 1,500 CMOs from across the world, and it's like 42% of CMOs have said the biggest struggle on their minds right now is what changes during the pandemic are going to be permanent versus temporary. And it's a really interesting question that many CMOs are grappling with. And so we're working through with them what we believe is permanent and what we believe is temporary. I think what we know is permanent, and this goes into how we're thinking about Dentsu, is that there's always going to be a more remote, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes right now, essence to our lives. So remote work, more flexible work styles, remote education, taking classes from anywhere, remote shopping, e-commerce, really being a part of our everyday. And so we're trying to focus both our capability on how do we engage with our clients' customers differently, you know, things like new retail models, new e-commerce models, new distribution channels for content. That is a big focus on us from a capability perspective. From a workforce and talent perspective, finding the right talent, no matter where they sit, no matter where they are, not focused on the confines of a specific city or an office location. So bringing together the right people at the right time to solve the right problems. With both of those comes the need for speed, agility, and simplification. So one of the things that we know is that our industry has become far too complex and far too complicated. And to your point, way too many specialist agencies, way too many niche agencies, way too many more quote unquote traditional agencies. And we're trying to simplify that down so that any client can just hire Dentsu. Sure, you can hire any one of our 12 different agencies, but really you can just hire our network and we'll put together a full solution of the right people, the right processes, and the right capabilities that will help you get to your answer faster. So we can deal with the complexity so that clients don't have to. And for us, that's huge organizational change because just like I said in how we designed our office space here in Toronto, it's breaking down walls, it's bringing together teams. But first and foremost, it's about being client first and in service of great ideas not in service of the agency that you work for. And so I think our teams are really excited about that as an evolution, being client first and idea first and an agency second.
So lots to do, lots of opportunity, changing environment, lots of clients. It's sort of a fun chaos. Is that the way I would describe your job?
It's organized chaos with a little bit of fun every day. I think the thing, you know, I miss most right now is seeing the team, right? We have in Canada, we have 1,000 people in 5 different cities across the country. And I was used to flying out to all the other cities and meeting with clients and meeting with people. And it's great because this time has allowed us to be more connected virtually, but excited to get back and actually work face to face and see the team again.
Yeah, I think we all miss a little bit more of the social interaction, but it is what it is, and we're all dealing with it.
Exactly. Agency life was always about having a few drinks after work also. So, you know, we missed that part.
I hope we all can get back soon, including you, to your really amazing office at One University, which I really enjoyed visiting.
So come back anytime.
A couple of quick ones for you. So when you think about what you're seeing now in terms of advertising and creative, irrespective of medium, what stands out? What do you like? What's working?
Okay, so on the emotional side, I have to say I saw the new Lego holiday spot. I don't know if you saw it this weekend, but it is an incredible take and a very emotional song that has been recreated. And so I think brand campaigns and ideas that tug at the heartstrings but are very culturally relevant and now are working really well. And Lego did a great job with their holiday campaign. And then on the flip side, this is something that we launched right before the pandemic, actually, that's working really, really well that I'm excited about, is virtual showrooming. So we launched a Cadillac virtual showroom called Cadillac Live pre-pandemic, not knowing that dealerships across the country were going to be shut down, but interacting with consumers in new ways in legacy industries, I think is working really well and trying to build some of that direct-to-consumer mentality.
Yeah, perfect timing on that one.
Yeah, we got lucky with timing, but you know, the power of a good idea.
So I often have these moments where I have a little deja vu and something triggers, you know, you get that little click in your head, that ad or jingle from when you were a kid. What still stands out in your head? What's like that one ad from when you were little watching cartoons on a Saturday morning that says, wow, that's just got staying power?
Yeah, it's funny because I actually just acted on this. You remember the power wheels? Right, the electric Jeeps. Like, yeah. So every single time I saw those commercials, all I wanted was a Power Wheels Jeep, but I was never allowed to have one as a kid. And so fast forward, my niece at her most recent birthday, I bought her a little red Corvette Power Wheels. You know, our clients, General Motors, we got to support them, of course. But also I acted on that impulse of just really wanting a Power Wheel. So I think that's one that anytime I see a Power Wheels or anytime I hear the jingle, it always reminds me of childhood.
I have one which I was lucky enough to actually interview the VP of marketing recently in one of my podcasts, the Roto-Rooter jingle.
Oh, yeah.
That's one which I learned a lot about in the episode. I also seem to have this affinity for the Oscar Mayer Wiener song because it just kind of sticks. And the one, though, that I really just, for whatever reason, always comes to my mind was the Caramilk Secret. If you remember, there was a whole series that kind of started in the 80s and went through into the 90s. And yeah, for whatever reason, it's just, you know, these things we all have these personal affinities to. And, you know, I've always thought at the end of the day, if a brand campaign is successful, the creative was part of the reason. If a brand campaign wasn't successful, the creative was part of the reason. But in and of itself, it's never the whole answer as to why things are successful or not.
I remember the big question mark in the Caramilk Secret commercial. It was kind of like a bouncing question mark, right? And then you'd start to see that question mark everywhere. And I'm still not sure how they get the Caramilk inside the chocolate bar. So maybe we can get that brand on and they can talk to us about the Caramilk Secret.
Love it. One more question for you. The one client that you wish you had the opportunity to work with.
Ooh. I'm going to give you a category. It has been a lifelong dream, and I have never worked on a cereal brand. I'm such a cereal aficionado. I love all types of cereals, but I am very judgmental of my cereals, and I've never worked on a cereal brand. One campaign that I always loved was Diamond Shreddies, right? Like, what a genius campaign of literally just rotating by 45 degrees. That was a marketing campaign that impacted packaging, that impacted their entire strategy and how they went to market. All from their agencies. So I would love a cereal. So cereal brands out there, we're open for business.
So what cereal did you have for breakfast this morning?
This morning I had Nola granola. hometown, local, small business, delicious, gluten-free organic granola.
Nice. And the only thing I'll say then on top of that is I'm not sure if you're aware or not, but there is right now this like retro cereal box kit where once a month they send you two retro cereals that you can almost never get again, like Frankenberry and Booberry and all that kind of stuff. Really cool. I looked it up online. I was going to get it for myself for my birthday. It was really expensive. I said no, but I love the cereal angle. And I hope that you get to fulfill that fantasy one day.
We might need to get an agency subscription to the cereal box company.
I'll send you the link. Well, listen, Jeff Greenspoon, CEO of Dentsu in Canada, really driving innovation in the way agencies are working. You gave me some amazing nuggets, and I really like the one thing that I'm going to summarize this entire conversation. The future of agencies is really driving total customer experience. And I think that's just, I just don't think that's something people think about. And I think we need to start thinking that way. So thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you for spending the time with me. I hope you have some good cereal tomorrow, and I hope you can get back into your really cool office soon too.
Awesome. Thanks, Corbin. This has been fun.
Thanks. Take care.
You've been listening to Fine Tune. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. You can connect with me on Twitter at CFine, through LinkedIn at CorbyFine, or visit my website, CorbyFine.com. Fine Tune is produced by me, Corby Fine. Thanks for listening.